Blog Talk Radio.
Shelter in your love, Lord. We thank you that we are your children, Lord.
We thank you that whatever we are, however depressed we are about ourselves and inadequacies of our own nature, we are still your children, Lord. Give us your spirit, we pray, Lord. Give us your Holy Spirit penetrating our whole nature, our flesh, and our blood, keeping us firm in faith under all temptation and distress, Lord. Give us your spirit to fill us with hope as we look to the future, to fill us with certainty in our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, who was and is to come, whose victory is before our eyes, so that we never waver or become afraid, Lord. Give us your spirit so that we may live in certainty and prepare ourselves more and more for your coming into the world, Lord. May we come to know that your loving kindness is at work today, that in the end of your deliverance will come quickly to the glory of your name. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, alrighty. Let's play some music.
Thank you.
Alrighty. Well, I hope you all enjoyed the praise and worship part of the service. Amen. All right. Well, let's get into the message for today. The message is, loving God with all your strength. It is the fourth in this series. Okay. All right. Okay, hold on a second. I will be right in here in the message in a minute here. All right. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, Lord our God, the Lord is one, the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. That's Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31. So we started a new series several weeks ago with what Jesus said was the first and greatest commandment. As a reminder, the Jews called this a Shema, which only means hear, to understand and apply. The Shema was so important to the Jews, they were to repeat it at the morning and the evening during the beginning of their worship. It was a priority. So we have studied so far that we are to love God with all our heart, our intellect, and this is worship, which means to bow down to. We then looked at the loving God with our soul, our feelings and emotions, and this relates to fellowship. And means we are to grow in our personal relationship with him, taking time to get to know him. Last week we looked at a loving God with our mind, by having him constantly on our mind, and this relates to discipleship. So growing in the knowledge and wisdom of the Lord, this week we are going to look at the fourth way we are to love God, and that is with our strength. So look with me at what God's word says about loving God with our strength. But first, let us pray. Lord God, grant that our spirit may recognize your spirit and your love, so that our lives cannot be swallowed up by passing concerns, but are lifted to something higher, Lord. Help us to hold fast to all the blessings you have allowed us to experience, Lord, the blessings you will certainly continue to give, even though new battles and new troubles are all around us, Lord. Send a great light to shine among the many people whose task is to lead the way so that your kingdom may come, Lord. Send light so that your name may be honored through all human deeds, and you may be known as life for all. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty. So loving God with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind and with all your strength. We talked about loving God with our heart, soul, and mind. And the fourth part of the equation is to love God with our strength. The word strength used here is only used one other time in the Old Testament. And what it really means is muchness. Sounds like a made-up word, doesn't it? But what it literally means is to love God with everything we have. My coach used to call it giving 110%, using all of the gifts, talents, and resources that God has given you. So when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said he would follow him, Jesus said, sell everything you have and come follow me. His point being, your muchness is a hindrance to your loving me. You love stuff more than me. So what does it mean to love God with all your strength? First, it means to love God with our physical power. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. This doesn't necessarily mean your own personal strength, but it does mean with the power of God in you. Sweating for God, to use your physical power, not to give up, to keep going when it's hard to keep going. You've heard it said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. I wish every Christian would adhere to this truth. Second, to love God with our personal resources. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and steady, always enthusiastic about the Lord's work for you. Know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. So anytime we hear a preacher say personal resources, we assume that it's just a buzzword for money. But if it was, we would miss all God is saying. I'm convinced that every church and every Christian must be generous, must give out of the resources, but make sure and understand that this is more than money. It is time, talent, and treasures of all of you. Third, to love God with our faithful perseverance. James chapter 5, verse 8, you too be patient and stand strong because the Lord's coming is near. Learning to love God with our muchness means we do not retire as a servant of Christ. Our job may change, our physical abilities may change as we get older, but we serve till we die. We don't give up. We keep pushing till Jesus calls us home. You can't do what you once did, but you can pray, encourage, minister, call, write, give till the end. Don't give up. The bottom line is we are not to love God with our strength, but recognize that all we have comes from the Lord. Our strength is not dependent on us, but if we're recognizing that my strength comes from the Lord, then I can have confidence that I can love him with all my heart, soul, and mind, and strength. Now, what does that mean for us individually? Loving God with all your strength relates to our service and ministry. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, your attitude must be like my own, for I did not come to be served, but to serve. The Bible makes it very clear that we are all created special by God. And once we accept Jesus as our Savior, we are given spiritual gifts that come alongside our special gifts to be used for God's glory and others' good. So what does it mean for us who claim the name of Jesus? What does it mean to serve God and others to be involved in God's ministry? Simply stated, it means that as a follower of Jesus Christ, we learn to serve by seeing how Jesus served. Ministry is serving like Jesus. So what does that mean first? Serving like Jesus means being available when called upon to serve. Matthew chapter 20, verse 32. Two blind men shouted, Lord, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called to them, what do you want me to do for you? Being available can be a scary thing. We can be concerned that God will ask us to do something we are not capable of doing or ask us to do something we just don't want to do. There are three things that keep us from being available to serve. One is being self-centered. That means we choose to serve ourselves over serving God and others. Second is perfectionism, waiting for just the right time or expecting everything or everyone to be perfect around you. And third is fear. What if I can't do it? Not good enough. That's where faith kicks in. Pray. God, if you want me to do it, then I accept that you are powerful enough to do it. And through me, it's not really about us, it's him and us. Second, serving Jesus-like means being grateful for our opportunity to serve. In John chapter 11, verses 41 to 42, Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here. We don't have to serve, we get to serve. Imagine that God of the universe has asked us and allowed us to serve together with him. That's pretty cool. So what stands in the way of our being grateful to serve? First, comparing ourselves to others. God didn't call you to be somebody else. He called you to be the best you can be. Second is criticizing others. God has called us to bear fruit, not the fruit inspector. Christ-likeness is never attached to judging or criticizing others. And third, wrong motives that serving for what we can get out of it or for what others will say about us. Jesus said if we do what we do for others, we have already received our reward. I hate to think I will miss out on heaven's rewards for those I get here on earth. An attitude of gratitude will bring blessings. Serving like Jesus means being faithful and fulfilling your service. In John 17, verse 4, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. So make sure you understand this. As we serve, we may never see the total benefit of it all. What we do is God's who gives us increase. God is looking for those who he can trust, for those who remain faithful to do what he has called them to do. And we'll leave the results to God. So what can be assured if we are faithful in service? First, our service remains. What I mean is that when you serve God, you are making a difference now and future. Second, our service guarantees God's recognition. The Bible is clear on this. God sees those who are faithful and blesses them with his protection and provision. Third, our service promises a heavenly reward. Not on this earth, it is waiting for us in heaven. Your service does make a difference, and you may not see it on this side of heaven, but I promise you, your service is making a difference now and for eternity. So in closing, how can we personally love God with all our strength? How can we love God with all our strength? So how can we personally use our strength? The strength we receive from God to love God and love others, what are some specific things we can do to love God with all our strength? We can love God with the strength of our hands. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, and if anyone gives up a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you too that he will certainly not lose his reward. The Bible tells us as followers of Jesus Christ, we are in his hands. So serving God in his strength is us the first way to love God with all of our strength. When we serve in preschool, kids and students, in adult ministry and community ministry, whatever we can do to love God and love others. And the turn point to the love of God is loving God with our hands, the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as you told you. Second, we can love God with strength of our feet. In Romans chapter 10, verse 15, and how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is what scriptures mean when they say how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So where are our feet taking us in this journey of life says a great deal about us. The Bible talks about feet that are swift towards destruction, quick to gossip, quick to criticize, quick to tear down. You ever notice how often someone starts talking bad about someone else, how others' ears quickly perk up? But the Bible tells us that one way to love God with our strength relates to our willingness not just to do, but our willingness to go, using the strength of your feet to go to those who are hurting, to those who need Jesus. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 and 40. So we can love him with the strength of our voice. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 8 and 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Learn speaking out for the things of God and speaking out for those who can't speak for themselves. We worship God and work to bring others to him with our voice. One of the clear truths in Scripture relates to the motives behind our voice. So much of what we hear today is about our own wants, wishes, desires, speaking out for what is best for me. What could God have us speak? Paul said he would not use his voice to defend himself, but to glorify God and point people to him. In fact, he said he would be willing to be offended for the sake of Christ. We are speaking for God and others, or just for ourselves, our challenge. So are you using your strengths for the glory of God and the salvation of others? Loving God with all your strength is a choice, and you will choose to love him with all you have. All righty. Now it's time to get into the invitation. Do you believe that the Lord God can save you? If not, you're so wrong. God, Jesus Christ, can save you from all of everything. Okay? If you're suffering from depression or anxiety, alcoholism, drug addiction, sexual morality, gambling, overeating, whatever, God can take that away. But in order for him to do so, he has to know you. So the question is today, do you want to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge you that I'm a sinner, and I'm so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins, and I am now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leaves a license, but rather it always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, please transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. So once again, I want to say thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you pray and receive Christ? If so, please give us your name so we can pray for you. And you can do this by calling in at area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487 and press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you will come on live and you can tell us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And we want to say, if you just said this prayer, we welcome you into the family of the Lord, and may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you highly favored. Amen. Well, anyway, let's play some music.
find out what you really want. Yeah, some people gotta lose it all to find out what
and highly favored, my son.
That's
how are you?
I am blessed and highly favored as well.
But I am more blessed and highly favored. Would you agree?
I don't know.
Kenny, I wanted to say that the covert is real. Have you gotten your 3 vaccinations, Kenny?
Yes, I got my I've been vaccinated completely.
I'm not talking about Tony F either, Kenny. I'm talking about the Moderna, the Pfizer, and the Johnson and Johnson baby powder.
I did the Pfizer.
Why didn't you do the Johnson & Johnson baby powder?
Because they're not giving it out here.
Kenny, I wanted to say that I am going to miss you, Kenny. And
I'm not going anywhere, Pastor Kent.
Why?
That's a lie and a rumor.
Saying that you are retiring. And that this is your last show, Kenny.
It's not my last show. I'm not going anywhere.
Well, I think I jumped the gun then because I called Lock Talk Radio and told them as of tomorrow you would no longer be on the air.
That's not true, okay? I'm always off on Mondays anyway.
Kenny,
so,
I want to say one more thing to you, Kenny. I do not blame you. But more importantly, I do not want you back on Discord, and I do not want you to do a show tomorrow. And I forbid you to call into Tony Talk tonight or to listen to it. As my employee, you must listen to me, Kenny.
I'm not your employee.
Yes, you are, Kenny. That's why.
No, I'm not.
I am going to retire you now, Kenny. You are retired. Okay, Kenny? Say
no,
okay
and
you,
whatever. That. Goodbye, Pastor Kent. Okay. 111. Okay. Five.
Hey, Kenny, it's Cobra Jeff. How you doing tonight?
I'm back, Cobra Jeff. How you doing
Actually pretty bad. I need some advice because I really don't know what to do. I'm actually on the run from the police, and I'm kind of in hiding right now. I accidentally beat the living crap out of my ex-girlfriend, and they're after me. Is there any way I can come stay with you?
No, I don't have any room.
Kenny, I don't know what to do, man. I'm in deep shit right now, and I need a place to hide. I need your help, please. Is there anything you can do for me?
I can't help you on something like that. You know, I mean,
Kenny, it was an accident, but they're after me. Do you have like a shed I can stay in or something?
No, I don't have a shed or anything like that.
Do you have maybe like an old TV cardboard box you can put in the backyard for me? I'm desperate, Kenny. I don't know what to do. I've already left New York. I don't know what the hell to do.
I don't know what to tell you there, my brother. Maybe you should face up to the music and see what happens. Amen.
Oh, shit, Kenny, the cops are after me. Crap.
That was funny.
Okay, 111.
On a Sunday, Jesus.
There you go. 111.
Bitch Kenny and bitch Tony, shut up, bitches.
Goodbye. All right.
And by the way, everybody, just to let it be known, God's Rainbow Ministries isn't going anywhere. Its shows will continue. Yes, they're a little erratic sometimes because Kenny just doesn't feel like it. But God's Rainbow Ministries will be here at least two or three times a week, always on Sunday for the Sunday service. So no matter what you hear elsewhere, we have not been run off Blog Talk, and we continue on with God's Rainbow Ministries sharing the word with Pastor Ken, and occasionally me, Tony F.
Yes, amen.
Y'all have a blessed Sunday. Let's continue on with the callers.
Okay. 111.
You're retiring, Kenny. Retire, bitch.
You're tired. Bye, Ken.
Bye, Jen. No, Yukari Yukomo. Okay, I am not retiring. I am not closing the show.
Kenny, I just ran over the cop. Now what do I do? Get ready for the death penalty. Any more callers?
Yeah, we got some more 111.
You might as well take the goofy little squeaks. They wait patiently on a Sunday.
111.
Just to make little beeps and farts and wordy noises.
I'm sorry, Kenny.
Oh, Lord.
Kenny.
Bye, Ken.
I'm sorry you're such a bitch.
I know. Sorry I am, too.
Bye. Okay, well, listen. I'm going to end this show. I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. God bless you. Don't listen to the Uncle Tony show, okay, because I know you're going to listen to him anyway, but I'm saying don't listen to what he has to say because it's not true, okay? He's a liar, okay? So God bless you all. Have a great night, okay?
And we'll see you Tuesday at 8 o'clock.
Yep. Bye-bye.